What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What do bunnies and chocolate eggs have to do with Easter? This question was put to me by the manager of Lutheran Radio UK, Pastor Jamie Krieger. My first thought was, not much. But then a short time later, I was heading into a supermarket. The car park was pretty full with people coming and going, and being school holidays, there was a distinct increase in the number of children everywhere. Two children, a boy and a girl, maybe around 6 and 8 years old, were excitedly dragging their mother into the shops and calling out to each other and to their mother about all the shopping they were going to do for Easter eggs and for Easter bunnies, and it was obviously a chocolate goal they had in mind. The boy then announced that he knew what the Easter bunny meant. I didn't stop my walking to eavesdrop, he could be heard across the car park, and they were coming towards me, but I was curious, and more so when he said quite loudly, "The Easter bunny means that Jesus came alive again." Huh? Welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions. My name is George Samietz, a pastor serving in the east of England at Ascension in Brandon, Suffolk, and looking after congregations in Coventry and Cambridge. I hope you enjoy the program. What do bunnies and chocolate eggs have to do with Easter? Like beauty, this answer is very much in the eye of the beholder. If you search the Bible, our source for what is normative for faith and the rule of faith, then we will not find any links. There are no references to Easter, the term, the word, just as there are no references to chocolate, and the references to eggs don't apply. The most well-known, I suspect, is found in Luke 11, when Jesus is teaching on prayer, and when talking about how the Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, Jesus cites human fathers, who are not perfect like the Heavenly Father, yet we still give good gifts to our children. What father whose son asks for an egg gives him a scorpion? There are no references to rabbits, but hares are mentioned in the Old Testament as unclean animals. The King James Version of the Bible does mention the word Easter once, as a time reference, when the Greek says Passover, and all the other translations I looked up also say Passover, even the New King James Version. So what this tells us is that on the first anniversary of Jesus' death and resurrection, or the second, or the third, the little children of the early church were not expecting the Easter bunny or Easter eggs. Indeed, they did not even have the word Easter. But that over the centuries, as Christianity spread and Christianized times and events, such things as eggs and rabbits and words and terms became associated with the times and seasons in the church year and the life of Jesus. Easter, rabbits, and eggs are things associated with spring in the Northern Hemisphere. The term Easter has probably evolved from the Old English word, and I don't know how to pronounce it. It's spelt E-O-S-T-R-E. Referring to a goddess, possibly of dawn or light or spring, but probably more so the time around which the Passover falls, that is, March and April. The time of spring, of course, is the time of new life, new birth, movement and activity after the stillness and cold of winter. Eggs are new life, literally and symbolically. They were used as gifts, coloured and dyed with various meanings attached to them over the centuries. Usually hard-boiled, the rise of chocolate eggs is less than 200 years old. Rabbits have a variety of meanings and symbolism attached to them over the centuries and around the world, including life, fertility, even promiscuity, and there is also new life, or the continuation of life, after death. Now, if you add such things as the church calendar and the season of Lent, that's 40 days not including Sundays, in which Christians were encouraged to not eat such things as meat, milk, cheese, and eggs for all or part of that time, then it isn't hard to imagine that beginning again to eat these things could be marked by a festive occasion. And what better festive occasion for Christians is there then, of course, the victory and salvation Jesus won for everyone by his death and resurrection. It isn't too far of a leap, then, for the culture of the time to be appropriated, Christianized, and hence Easter rabbits and eggs come into the picture as part of the scene to help celebrate Jesus' victory over sin and death and his resurrection and new life. In fact, the Easter bunny is often first associated with Lutherans in Germany, as rabbits were associated with Jesus and new life. What we have here are things associated with the time of spring, or the months of March and April, which is the time of the Passover, and the time Christians have used to ponder and contemplate, repent over and resolve to amend, rejoice and celebrate, all because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Such things, once established, can develop lives of their own, and so it is not surprising that people come to know such things as eggs, bunnies, and the word Easter, but have no real knowledge of Jesus and who he is and what he has done for us. Part of me is simply happy that the lad in the car park knew that Jesus is alive again, like Paul in Philippians, who was happy that the gospel was spoken irrespective of the motives of the speakers. So I'm happy that this message, however it has come about, is on his lips. This message is powerful because Jesus is alive and the Holy Spirit is at work drawing people to Jesus, and that's good. Part of me is concerned if the story of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, and later ascension, is treated as a myth, having possibly only some cultural significance if a country has a long history of Christianity. It might happen that people then think they know the story of Jesus when in truth they only know a popular or cultural or even economic version. Hence, should Jesus be rejected, he isn't rejected because he is God or Lord or Savior, but for some other reason. Not that I want Jesus rejected, but I do want people to know who he really is. And the question becomes, according to whom? After nearly 2,000 years, many people today do think they have an idea of Jesus. He is generally a good guy, a teacher, a man before his time, revolutionary, radical, and so on. I suspect people, Christians included, often pour into Jesus our wishes for what we hope God is like. I know this is part of our personal piety too, how we imagine Jesus when we worship, read the Bible, or pray. But Christians must resist turning Jesus into our image of him, and instead let the Word, the Bible, speak. And so we meditate, reflect, learn, and teach what it says and what it doesn't say. The message stands, speaks to us today, because Jesus is alive. He is truly human and truly God. He is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He did die on a cross. He was raised to new life. He is Lord, and that means we are not. And this God in Jesus gives life through Jesus' death and resurrection, events that happened in a specific time and place, and through words, water, bread and wine, here and now. I hope the lad enjoyed his chocolate bunnies and eggs, just as I hope he grows in understanding what he said. With Jesus alive again, alive still, life is changed, much more than having a sugar high. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samietz, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.